All right, padlock is gone and it is recording.
This recording is the first time that Caitlin McCollum talked to NPR. She was teaching Spanish at a public high school in Tennessee. Most of her students came from a relatively low-income rural community.
I told them today that I had an interview with you all, and many of them, as they left class, said, good luck, Miss McCollum. We really hope things, you know, are put into motion from this interview.
Back in college, Caitlin had made this deal with the United States Department of Education. She promised to teach at a low-income school for 4 years. In exchange, the DOE gave her $16,000 for college, free and clear, not a loan. After 3 years of doing exactly what she said she would, she got the letter.
I remember going out to the mailbox. I even opened it up at the mailbox, came inside, and sheer panic just sat in.
The letter was about the deal Caitlin had made with the Department of Education. Yes, she had spent 3 years teaching exactly where she said she would, but there was a problem with Caitlin's paperwork saying that she was teaching where she said she would. The government had allegedly received that paperwork 2 or maybe 3 days late. Seemingly not a big problem. After all, they got the paperwork. Except, as the letter explained, in this case, the punishment was that the entire deal was now torn up and canceled. Caitlin was going to have to repay the Department of Education every penny they gave her back in college.
I remember my husband coming in the house and I was sobbing, just absolutely sobbing. And we actually had just found out that I was pregnant with our first child. And then to be hit with this, I feel like it's so very unjust and unethical, but that there's nothing that I can do because I'm such a small fish against the federal government.
Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Kenny Malone. And for more than a year, two of our colleagues at NPR have been investigating stories like Caitlin McCollum's and discovered that thousands of teachers across the country made a deal to help struggling schools, did what they promised, and were ultimately rewarded with millions of dollars of debt. Today on the show, the story of how the Department of Education turned into what many teachers felt was a ruthless predatory lender.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from PolicyGenius.com, the easy way to compare and buy insurance online. With PolicyGenius, you can compare quotes from top-rated carriers, get unbiased advice from licensed experts, and apply online in minutes. Whether you're shopping for life, disability, home, auto, or renter's insurance, if you care about it, they can cover it. Compare and save on insurance today at PolicyGenius.com.
Drag has been around for a while.
In the kabuki tradition in Japan, in minstrel shows, in vaudeville.
But one TV show made it mainstream now. We break down drag's current renaissance. Check out NPR's It's Been a Minute now.
So how does this begin? You get like a tip from a, I don't know, like somebody in a trench coat? How does this go?
It's sort of like that. So, yeah, I mean, I actually got an encrypted message on my phone. It's kind of exciting.
That's pretty legit.
I mean, it's trench coat in a way.
This is Chris Arnold. He's an investigative reporter at NPR who covers consumer protection.
Yeah, so I get this tip, and it's basically like, look, there's stuff worth digging into around the Department of Education and things that are going on, and that gets me to look at this lawsuit. And as I'm digging through, I see this mention of this program called the Teach Grant Program.
Had you ever heard of this before?
No, not at all.
Yeah, and Kenny, I'm reading this lawsuit at the same time Chris is.
This is Corey Turner, also at NPR, also worked on this investigation.
And I'm the education reporter, and I do the same thing. I stumble across Teach Grant. Huh. Never heard of it.
The Teach Grant Program started more than a decade ago.
Will the members in the aisles please take their conversations to the back of the chamber?
Teach was just a small part of this bill called the College Cost Reduction Act of 2007. It was sponsored by a Democratic representative named George Miller.
For students who are excelling in college and want to teach, if they make a commitment to teach in difficult public schools, we will provide $4,000 a year in tuition assistance while they're in school.
So prospective teachers could get up to $16,000 free and clear if they went and taught at a low-income school after they graduated. But if for some reason somebody took that money and then didn't go and teach like they promised, there was this provision that allowed the government to say, hey, listen, you got to give us that money back.
Yeah, that grant is going to become a loan.
Yeah, and that's totally reasonable, right? I mean, because if someone said, yeah, sure, man, I'll become a teacher, and then they go backpacking.
What is the teacher in your universe from Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, it would be like a Fast Times at Ridgemont High type guy.
I see.
Who's like, yeah, man, I'll take this 16 grand. And then they just go screw off. Like, of course, the government's going to want its money back.
But Corey and Chris, after reporting out that encrypted trench coaty message, had started to hear that this nuclear option, converting the grant into a loan, was being used for the smallest stuff, paperwork errors, a missed signature, filing a form a day late. So they started calling teachers who had had this happen.
David, you're using your voice memo recorder, right?
Right, I've got it running right now.
Excellent.
One of the first teachers they found was a guy named David West. One day, David also got one of those letters saying, your paperwork was a couple days late. Your teach grant is now a teach loan. Pay up.
Initially, my feeling was, surely this is a mistake. Surely this can't be that big a deal. Let me call them up.
So he gets somebody on the phone and he explains, like, hey, I'm teaching where I'm supposed to. Can we just get this cleared up? And the person is like, no. You were 2 days late, and technically, we are now allowed to turn your grant into a loan. And David is like, what? I was 2 days late on paperwork, and essentially the fine for that is that I now owe thousands of dollars.
If I had not done the job, fine. I owe you the money. I did the job. They're like loan sharks. I mean, I'm surprised nobody showed up to cap my knees with a bat.
Again, David is not dealing with some shady payday lender. This is a program run by the United States Department of Education.
I couldn't believe it. I was floored. You go through, let me talk to your supervisor, blah, blah, blah. You can talk. And she said, you can talk to who you want. And there's also an appeals process, and you can try to appeal this if you want. But nobody ever wins. That's exactly what she said to me out of the gate.
Wow, really?
Yes. I wish I'd recorded that call.
I remember thinking in the moment, as soon as he said that, does that mean that the folks in this call center hear this so often that, like, they just know to say it, like, sorry, buddy, don't even bother.
Yeah, and so, like, we start asking around, and we manage to get our hands on this internal report that the Ed Department had actually done on this TEACH program, and in there was the answer to our question of, well, how many teachers have gotten screwed up like this?
It was a shocking number.
We have some exclusive reporting from NPR to bring you this morning.
Chris and Corey ran a story about the internal TEACH grant report that they'd gotten a hold of.
One in three people who lost their grants said they did meet those teaching requirements or were likely to.
The report estimates, based on a representative survey, that it's upwards of 12,000 teachers, and it could be a lot more.
The Department of Education wouldn't talk to Chris and Corey on tape for the story, but they did give this written statement that kind of said, oh yeah, these numbers do not look good. We're going to have to look into this. That radio story ran in March of 2018.
You know, you do a story, you get some feedback. On this one, it was like Twitter exploded, email inboxes exploded, teachers saying, this is exactly what happened to me, upset, sad, angry. So many people telling us they got hurt.
One of those people was Caitlin McCollum, the teacher that you heard at the very beginning of this episode.
All right, guys, can you team up for me? Get in your color groups for me. Yeah. Awesome.
Caitlin, of course, teaches at a low-income school in Tennessee, but the first time Corey and Chris met her in person was on a student field trip to Washington, D.C. Caitlin was a chaperone. They met up at this pretty noisy shopping mall food court where Caitlin explained how her family had built their life around her TEACH grants.
Like life decisions based on what kind of school you had to teach in because of these grants.
Absolutely. We, every year it seems that we've had a different opportunity, or at least option that we could have looked into had we not been in this predicament.
To get a sense of how big these life trade-offs were, you just need to talk to Caitlin's husband, AJ, who also happened to be on this trip.
Yes, the way that the grant was structured, Caitlin had to teach in...
AJ and Caitlin moved specifically to a place where Caitlin could fulfill her TEACH grant requirements. AJ happens to be in the military. And after they'd already moved, AJ found out that he had qualified for flight school.
Which was, I mean, obviously a dream. Anybody that has any interest in the military, if you qualify to be a pilot, that's one of those things that it's surreal. So we had to look at that and say, well, we can't leave.
Caitlin and AJ ran the math, and unfortunately for AJ, it just made economic sense for them to stay where they were. Caitlin could keep teaching, keep her grants, and they wouldn't get buried in debt. AJ passed on his flight school dream so that Caitlin could keep her promise to the Department of Education. And then, of course, Caitlin got that letter. AJ got home from work one day, and Caitlin was in tears.
She said, I don't know what we're going to do. And I said, I'll tell you, we're not paying it back. And she said, well, we can't do that. And I said, I wear a uniform with a flag on my sleeve. They're not taking our money. It's wrong. And that was the culmination of our conversation that night.
As you heard earlier, Caitlin's paperwork was allegedly late by 2 or 3 days. But what we didn't mention is that it's not just that Caitlin's entire $16,000 in grants was suddenly converted to a loan. The way this is enforced is that they kind of go back in time and say, oh, well, actually, these grants now, they were always loans. And clearly, you haven't been paying down that loan because, of course, you haven't, because you had no idea it was a loan. But that doesn't matter. And so now there's all this backdated interest piled up. And so with interest, Caitlin actually now owed around $21,000 and counting. And for Caitlin, who was making around $30,000 a year, that was a sudden, massive financial burden.
Sometimes I can go a whole week and not even think about this whole issue. And then I'll be doing something so menial, like washing dishes or taking a shower. And then it'll just hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, oh my God, I owe all of that money. And it still isn't fixed. And what am I going to do? And it's like a knee-buckling moment of panic all over again.
After the break, how to try and fix a bureaucracy at a Starbucks.
Support for NPR comes from Newman's Own Foundation, working to nourish the common good by donating all profits from Newman's Own food products to charitable organizations that seek to make the world a better place. More information is available at newmansownfoundation.org.
Hey everyone, this is Stacey Vanek Smith, co-host of The Indicator from Planet Money, where every day we bring you a short story about the economy. This week on the show, we check in with the protests in Hong Kong, we go axe throwing, and we talk with private firefighters in California. Check out The Indicator from Planet Money.
What Chris and Corey had found was this classic spirit of the law versus letter of the law problem. Technically, messed up paperwork or whatever violated this deal that thousands of teachers had made with the government. But what really was that deal? It was to go and teach in a low-income school. So Corey and Chris figured if they could just explain this to the right people at the Department of Education, surely this is the kind of thing that could get fixed.
So we set up this meeting with some officials at the Department of Ed, and we get coffee, we go to Starbucks, we sit outside on the patio. And Chris has flown down from Boston, so he's there in his snappy jacket.
Did I have a snappy jacket?
You always wore the same snappy jacket.
A lot of this meeting was off the record, but Corey and Chris say they can share a general sense of the meeting. They told the sources about Caitlin McCollum and what kind of a teacher she was.
Like, this is exactly the kind of person you wanted going through this program. And now here she is suffering because of it. It doesn't make any sense. It's not right. And so I remember you just kept asking, why can't you just fix it?
Yeah. Like the moment that I remember, like, you know, can it just be as simple as if they're teaching in a low income school, they get their grants back because who cares about the paperwork stuff?
Right. Know? Yeah.
And there was like a long pause and kind of a shake of the head. And it would be like, well, it was something like, Corey, the answer was something like, well, that would be nice, but you just don't understand how complicated that is.
Yeah, not that they necessarily disagreed. They were telling us, we're not sure that's even possible.
So Corey and Chris were like, okay, I guess we will just keep doing this story, especially now that they had met the perfect example of how badly this could go.
It's been 2 years of torture.
Caitlin McCollum is a high school teacher.
Again, for this story, the Department of Education would not do an on-tape interview. But on the exact same morning that this story ran, the Secretary of Education was scheduled to testify in Congress about something completely unrelated to the Teach Grant program. Were you intentionally trolling the Secretary of Education by running a story about Caitlin the morning that DeVos was supposed to testify on Capitol Hill about other things?
I think the honest answer is no, but had we, like, actually thought about it, we very well may have trolled her.
It's a privilege to welcome Secretary DeVos for her first appearance before the Education Workforce Committee.
Intentional or not, it appeared to have worked because at least one House representative, or his staffer maybe, happened to catch the Caitlin story on NPR. It was the ranking Democrat of the House Education and Labor Committee, Bobby Scott.
There's a report this morning of the debacle going on with teachers who are fulfilled in the process of fulfilling their loan forgiveness requirements.
Technically not a loan forgiveness program, but close enough, Bobby Scott.
How long have you, the department, known about that?
Are you speaking of the teacher grant program?
Right.
We are aware of the issues within that program and have taken steps to address the issues therein.
Do you need legislation to fix it?
I don't believe so.
DeVos acknowledges, yeah, we got this. That's basically what she says. We've got this.
I mean, the question is, you know, is that just like a blow off?
Yeah.
Or is that, no, really, we're committed. And at that point, we don't have any idea.
The Department of Education had already announced a top to bottom review of the Teach Grant program, likely in response to some of Chris and Corey's earlier reporting. And so they kept going. They worked with a lawyer from the organization Public Citizen, who'd managed to get hundreds of documents about the Teach Grant program under the Freedom of Information Act. Do you learn that the program is better or worse than you thought?
You know,
definitely worse.
Yeah. The crazy thing about it is that things just kept appearing.
For example, Chris and Corey found this memo written by the contractor that the Department of Education had hired to kind of deal with the Teach Grant program. This contractor was writing a memo to the Department of Education about the program.
Basically, this memo says, you know, guys, we're actually converting to loans a lot of teachers who seem to be meeting the spirit of the program. And maybe that's not such a good idea.
Wait, they had found the exact same thing you had found?
Yeah, basically.
Even this company is waving its flag saying, please don't make us hurt these teachers. And nothing happens.
And then Chris and Corey found that there was this whole other pool of Teach Grant teachers, as many as 10,000 who had mistakenly had their Teach Grants turned into loans.
Like, by mistake. This isn't even the paperwork thing.
Yeah,
this
they
is
weren't
just
even a day late or anything. Right, yeah.
And then that raised the question for us, well, geez, what'd they do about it? Well, the answer is not a lot.
But slowly, over the course of like 7 months, Corey and Chris say the tone from their sources at the Department of Education just started to change. From we don't know if it's possible to fix this, to we think this might be possible, to we think we can actually fix this. And I kept asking Corey and Chris, like, okay, but why did it change? Who changed it? Who was the evil person hurting teachers? And Chris and Corey kept saying, no, it's not like that. That's not always how these government meant well, but screwed it all up stories go.
I think, you know, one really important lesson for me in all this is, like, we love our stories to have a villain.
Yeah.
And I think for the longest time, I just assumed that the department was the villain, or that the, you know, the company that managed the program for the department was the villain.
Yeah, must be making money off this somehow. There's some kind of scam.
We looked at all the angles, like, who's profiting off this?
Right. And people hear the stories, and that's the immediate response, too. Like, people will tweet out, you know, oh, this company must be getting rich on the back of these teachers and corruption. And
the scary thing is this is 2019, and the villain was bureaucracy.
And it was a bureaucracy that spanned the Bush administration, the Obama administration, and the first half of the Trump administration. I mean, and this just was this machine that was not being changed. You know, it was chugging along, hurting people.
The good news for me is that ultimately that bureaucracy is made of humans. And if we just convinced enough of those humans to change direction and move toward a kinder, gentler program, it actually happened.
Yeah.
Finally, after more than a year, Chris and Corey got word from the Department of Education. It was top secret, but the deal was done. The department was going to agree that if teachers could prove they were and still are going to keep their end of the deal, then the department would convert their loans back into grants. Again, this was not public information yet, but Corey and Chris couldn't wait. They wanted to tell Caitlin McCollum themselves. So they asked a local producer to go over to Caitlin's house.
Oh, hush. I'm going to have to put them up. Come on. Come on.
That's Caitlin and her husband, AJ. And this was back in December. AJ deals with the dogs. Caitlin and the producer, Lexi, sit down by the phone so Chris and Corey can talk to Caitlin.
Yes, Lexi and I are sitting in my living room looking at my pine needles all over the floor because we put up our Christmas tree last night.
I think we've got some good news here for you, actually.
Okay.
As long as you can now prove that you were still meeting the teaching requirements, you're doing what you promised you'd do, you're going to get your grants back.
Are you serious? oh, my God. sorry. I'm... oh, goodness. Oh. That is such good news. Oh, that's such good news.
And I remember Lexi, our engineer, telling us that she went to the other room where her husband AJ was with their son, and they had a baby gate. And, you know, our story begins with her at the mailbox getting that letter when she's pregnant. Her son is now, I think he's like two. And as she's telling AJ that it's all over.
So we have to keep it under wraps until Monday.
She's leaning over the baby gate on one side and he's leaning over the baby gate on the other side and they're hugging.
We get to go back to living life like we did prior. Thank you. So you have us both. Well, at least I'm in tears. I don't know. I'm much more
emotional. I'm going to walk away.
My husband's walking away.
Throughout this entire, like, year of reporting, Chris and Corey had had trouble getting anybody from the Department of Education to actually record an interview on tape. But as the Department of Education started to roll out this fix, Chris and Corey got an interview. And in one of the most on-brand moments of this whole story, the person chosen to be the face of this so far mostly faceless bureaucracy was a senior official with a spectacularly long title.
Diane Auer Jones is my name, and my title is Principal Deputy Undersecretary, delegated the duties of Undersecretary and Assistant Secretary for Post-Secondary Education.
And towards the end of that interview, there is this kind of unbelievable moment, this thing that you just don't necessarily expect to hear from someone representing a bureaucracy.
This is your chance to talk to a couple million people, many of whom are teachers. And I'm curious, what would you say to them now about Teach Grant?
How sorry we are. I mean, obviously, we want to extend an apology. We've put teachers who didn't deserve this stress, this pressure, this financial burden in a position that is stressful and frightening and confusing. And I can't give them back those years, and I can't take away the gray hairs, and I can't take away the stress. It seems like a small thing to do to say, I'm sorry, but I'm very sorry, and we want to work to fix it and correct it.
As of this story, around 7,000 teachers have applied to get their Teach Grants fixed. So far, the vast majority of those teachers have qualified. They'll find out, ironically, the same way they found out everything was screwed up to begin with a letter in the mail from the Department of Education. Caitlin McCollum got hers just before she was leaving on a family vacation. She brought the letter with her in the car. Her husband was driving. Her son was in the backseat.
All right, here we go. Do you see that word? You see where it says congratulations? Dear Teach Grant recipient, you qualify to have your eligible loans reconverted to Teach Grants. I'm like, I don't know whether to cry or laugh or like, ugh. Louis, can you say yay? Yeah! Woo! Woo! Yay! I love your dance moves, buddy.
You're free, baby.
Ah, so excited!
If you would like more Planet Money in your life, we are happy to tell you that we have a relatively new weekly newsletter. You can subscribe by going to npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter. That is npr.org/planetmoneynewsletter. Planet Money is edited by Bryant Urstadt. Alex Goldmark is our supervising producer. Today's episode was produced by Alexi Horowitz-Ghazi. And, of course, it was reported by Chris Arnold and Corey Turner. And by the way, if you'd like to support Planet Money, one great way to do that is just to leave us a review on whatever podcasting app you're using. You could also tell a friend. You could send somebody your favorite episode. You could just even help them subscribe to the podcast. Any of that would be fantastic. I'm Kenny Malone. This is NPR. Thanks for listening.